We are passionately pumping.
Jamolo's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamolo, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
It's back to the drawing board for Pompey, who were last night dumped out of the Carabao Cup by the Seagulls.
What can he do standing up to the far post? Great chance in the opening goal for Brighton, created by Iakambash. Pompey giving the ball away.
And despite a promising opening 20 minutes or so, the floodgates began to open at the Amex.
Field back to goal. Yakerish trying to turn and get the shot away, and he's done that, and he's scored.
So the Blues are out of the cup and have one less thing to worry about in what is an already shaving up to be a heavily congested season. But there do appear to be some cracks in need of repair ahead of the remainder of the campaign. As ever, Blues fans, we want to hear the thoughts of you from back home. Be sure to get in touch with the show between now and seven to have your comments read out on air. Are you worried about what you saw last night, or just simply glad to be out of the cup? What needs to change at Pompey to ensure the club begins to move in the right direction? And how long does Kenny have to prove himself this season? For how long can you hold on before patience starts to run out? It's 81400 on the text. Start your messages with the word express. It's Pompey at expressfm.com on the emails and at expressfm if you're on Twitter. As always, a very good evening and welcome on FM, DAB, online and through your smart speaker to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Hello again, good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Hour here on Express FM, the only radio station from the great waterfront city of Portsmouth. This season, the show is being driven to you by Stagecoach across the South. Find out more information on timetables, fares and the latest COVID-19 guidelines by heading to stagecoach.co.uk. On the show tonight, we'll be looking ahead to Sunday's trip to Rochdale in the league, discussing the latest updates on this year's postponed EFL Trophy final and revealing some important information in regards to a test event being run at Fratton Park, whereby a limited amount of supporters may be able to attend a match very soon. We're going to do our very best to fit all of that in before now and 7 o'clock. But before all else, it's time to revisit Pompey's most recent outing and begin an inquest into what went wrong during that game. On the commentary for last night's Carabao Cup second round tie at the Amex was Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He scored!
This is...
You wanna believe?
Live.
Well, I'd love to tell you the atmosphere was building here at the Amex, but we all know in these current times, atmosphere building just means they've turned the tannoy up slightly louder as we move towards kickoff. It is Portsmouth against Premier League opposition tonight in the League Cup second round, and the chance to cause a notable upset in the League Cup as they look to knock out a Brighton side who have made numerous changes while Kenny Jackett has gone for a strong first 11. And Bash rolls it in towards the penalty area. And it's going to pull Carney for Brighton. Good save initially from McGilvery. And Bernardo squanders a wonderful chance on the rebound. Yokeresh with a great chance to put the Seagulls ahead. McGilvery saved with his body. And a bouncing ball put over the ball bar by Bernardo. 0-0. Bolton Williams instead crosses to the far post, looking for Mark, who's nodded down. Surely into the net. Harness has scored, as he knows. Saved, but the offside flag's up anyway. And a good moment for Pompey. Doesn't end in the opening goal. Oh, terrible back cast from Braggett. McGilvery makes one save. He needs to make another. It's headed off the line by Watmore. Portsmouth almost gifting the opening goal away. And a combination of McGilvery and Watmore save them after an error at the back. Good play from Jack. Yakambash has got space outside the area. Will he fancy a shot? Lays it off. Stevens may well. Stevens drills it off the post. Loose still in the area. Bernardo in towards the penalty spot.
and Pompey should be able to get it away. Mattis gives possession straight back to Brighton. Pompey give the ball away at the back, and Yakambash couldn't take it in his stride, but he has it in the penalty area. What can he do standing up to the far post? Great chance, and the opening goal for Brighton, created by Yakambash. Pompey giving the ball away. It was sloppy, and it's headed in at the far post. It's McAllister there, and the deadlock is broken for Brighton. It's Brighton 1, Portsmouth 0. Yakambash with Brighton. Yakambash, what a goal! Drills it into the roof of the net from just outside the penalty area. Yakambash just absolutely slammed one into the net. McGilvery can't keep it out. It's Brighton 2, Portsmouth 0. Might put it out, soon to come. The Pompey to defend. The edge of the 6-yard box, and they don't defend it. It's headed into the back of the net by Bernardo, into the near post. And the Brazilian rose above the Pompey defence to bury it into the back of the net. It's Brighton 3, Portsmouth 0. Headed back in field, back to goal. Yakerish trying to turn and get the shot away, and he's done that, and he's scored. And Victor Yakerish has got his first goal for Brighton. It's Brighton 4, Portsmouth 0. This one deep towards the far post. Header cleared off the line. Brilliant save. Braggart was sure he'd scored. Steals had nothing to do in this second half. Wonderful right palm away. And Brighton clear. Sanders on the right-hand side has the final touch of the game here at the Amex Stadium. It is finished. Brighton 2, Portsmouth 0.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
Highlights you just heard there of the 4-0 defeat in East Sussex less than 24 hours ago. After the game, Andy went to the touchline to hear the thoughts of the manager, Kenny Jackett.
We felt we played pretty well and created them chances going forward and had opportunities, particularly at set pieces. I mean, we were into double figures and corners. Couldn't capitalise on that, unfortunately, and then Bernardo's got a header down the other end. And, you know, they have both the power inside the boxes and then the football in between. And, you know, for us anyway, you know, we accept that Brighton deserve to win tonight. There were some positives going forward in terms of the positions we got into. Some of the goals were avoidable, but, you know, we have to keep progressing. And, you know, for us anyway, you know, we understand where we are and we have to keep working away.
And I guess when you're playing a Premier League side and you go a couple and then three down, it's a very, very long way back.
Of course. And, you know, when they get the first goal, it is a tough one because it gets their noses in front. If you can, at the right time, particularly through a set piece, be able to capitalise on the many corners that we had tonight, that was really going to be our best chance and opportunity, I did feel. But as I say, they have the power in the boxes and the football in between, and you know, they deserve to win tonight.
Jack Watmore's just walked past you. Always a worrying sign for Pompey fans to see him come off injured. What is the situation with him?
No, he wasn't injured. He had a dead leg, which, you know, he was just limping slightly, but he could have played on. I did feel, though, it was an opportunity to be able to take him off. And he has, you know, no problems. You know, he's very confident in terms of being able to train tomorrow. And as I said, a knock as a dead leg didn't develop into anything worse, which is good news for us.
We obviously knew about one of the changes you were going to have to make with Callum Johnson cup tied, but the other two you opted for Campering at left back and to rejig your front three.
Yes, and be able to just try to freshen up the number 10 position, which I did feel with Marcus Harness and then Andy Cannons through the course of this evening. As you say, Cameron Pring, I thought, had another good game. Hasn't played yet in the league for us, but we have only had one game, but he had a good game and had a promising start, I think, to his Portsmouth career.
What would your team need to improve on if you're going to get 3 points Saturday?
Yeah, we've got to hit the ground running. You know, we do feel that you know, we have a good attitude and morale about the group, which we're going to need throughout a long season. But obviously, get the balance right between, you know, being defensively stable if we can, and then, you know, constructive going forward. They're always the two main aims, you know, in any game plan going into, you know, whichever game, whether that be in the cups or as we turn towards now the league.
And just finally, any knocks picked up?
I don't think so. You know, initially we're okay, and as I said, you know, we have to make sure our warm down tomorrow is right and professional, and we focus on Sunday.
Andy Moon there with the gaffer Kenny Jackett, and evidently the Brighton and Hove Albion groundsman in the background. Apologies for the background noise from that interview. So that was the gaffer's assessment of the events which unfolded last night. But what about you back home? What have you taken from that result? And most importantly, the performance. 81400 is the number to text. If you want to get involved, don't forget to start your messages with the word Express. Otherwise, it's pompey@expressfm.com, on the emails, at expressfm on Twitter, or facebook.com/PompeyLive. First of all, however, I'm joined by two lads who I'm sure are eager to have their own thoughts put across as well. First of all, delighted to welcome back to the Football Hour, Sam Macy. Sam, a very good evening to you.
Hello, mate. Very good to be with you again.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. And also joining myself and Sam over the phone lines this evening, making his proper Football Hour debut after he joined me, Liam and Ryan during the lockdown series, it's Tom Malley. Tom, it's also great to welcome you to the show.
Yeah, evening, Jake. Thanks for having me back.
Always a pleasure, lads. Obviously, we're going to start off with last night's 4-0 defeat at Brighton. We'll come to you first, Sam. 4-0 scoreline, of course, is not really a flattering one, not one we want to see as Pompey fans, but a lot of the argument on social media is, you know, you've got on the one hand saying, well, it's a Premier League side, but on the other hand, it's fans saying, well, it was a Premier League side with a second string team. Which side of the fence do you kind of sit on there?
For me, I'd definitely have to go with the latter. I thought it's 11 changes from the team which played on Monday against Chelsea. I don't think many of those players start when Brighton are at full strength. And I think that's the disappointing thing, just to see how far behind clubs like Brighton we actually are.
Yeah.
If you look at things like set pieces, we had 12 corners and we had 2 shots on target in the game. Like if you go back to the Shrewsbury game as well, it's just another prime example of how toothless we've looked going forward. I don't recall a good chance in either of the 180 minutes of football we've seen over the last week. And it's not been a good start by any means. So hopefully we can find a bit of positivity. But for me, there was just absolutely nothing positive to take from last night's performance.
Yeah. And of course, it was a team mostly strung up of fringe players at Brighton last night, Tom. And as Sam mentioned there, 11 wholesale changes for the Seagulls from their last Premier League game on Monday night. But when you've got the likes of Alireza Jahanbakhsh, Lewis Dunk, Bernardo, Davy Proper, Pascal Gross as well, all in that starting lineup, regardless of whether the fact that that may be a second string team, that is still quite a quality lineup that they put out against us. So still players with Premier League quality coming up ultimately against League One players.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that wasn't, you know, people said that was a Brighton second string team as if it was almost made up of youth players as well. And that, like you said, that was mostly made up of players on the fringes of the first team. So that wasn't like a team that should have, that's maybe we should have beaten. That was, you know, that was always going to be a tough test. And yeah, I think obviously where they are a Premier League team as well, they're going to have Premier League quality players in that side. So I think obviously we were never going to win that match, to be honest, in my opinion. And I don't think there was any shame in losing it. Maybe just the way in which it was lost, I think, is what a lot of people probably have a problem with.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Joel Veltman as well, a player at the club, Sam, who Brighton signed from Ajax earlier this summer. Someone who was playing in the Champions League not too long ago. Now he's playing against Pompey in the Carabao Cup. You know, just another one of the names with top quality footballing experience at, you know, really the highest of the levels, coming up against Kenny Jackett's side, who, let's be honest, the focus truly is on the league.
Yeah, if you look at it, you've gone from playing against Champions League players like Messi, Ronaldo, etc., to coming up against John Marcus. He's not getting any balls and he's just chasing scraps. And it's easy nice work for him. I think them getting him was a bargain, less than £1 million. I think it's very, very good business. But Bright is a weird one. Like, I think there are some top quality Premier League players in there. Like you mentioned Lewis Dunk. There's someone who's like linked with clubs for like £50 odd million. I think there's no shame in losing to that Brighton team. I think it's just the way which we lost. It just didn't look like there was any sort of motivation from when the second goal went in. The first half wasn't too bad, but it was just absolutely dire from as soon as that the second goal went in.
Yeah. Again, it was such a huge shame, Tom, because I thought Pompey started the game out quite well. They looked to attack Brighton. There was actually some football played along the floor, which we've seen a little bit of at the start of the season. But we looked to attack them. We looked to be confident going forward. But then as soon as Sam mentioned, really after half time when they were 1-0 up, they scored their second goal. From that point onwards, really, the floodgates began to open up and they really showed their Premier League quality and, you know, their experience to see a game out like that.
Yeah, definitely. I think the first half was acceptable, to be honest. We held our own for a fair chunk of that first half, obviously, before the opening goal. And, you know, there was some good play, some promising signs. But I think that's just typical Pompey, or recently, and over the past couple of seasons even, is that we make a good start, even have a good first half, but the second half comes around and we don't always push on, and that's when we get punished. Obviously, yeah, like again, it was a Premier League side, and they did, in the end, just control the game, which is kind of to be expected as well. But yeah, I mean, there were some promising signs, but then it all just sort of fell out of our hands and ran away from us.
Yeah, and a stat you mentioned a few moments ago, Sam, was the fact that Pompey had 12 corners during the entire match, something which Kenny Jackett liked to highlight during his post-match interview. And whilst it's not, you know, not a bad statistic to throw out there, it did show really that Pompey were having opportunities going forward. Brighton weren't 100% assured at the back, you could say, but the fact of the matter is, it was the final execution of these corners, of these crosses, of the final through balls into the box, which, regardless of the team you're playing, whether it's Premier League or League Two, it's those sort of simple things which Pompey just could not get right on the night.
No, as well, I think that's the issue. The delivery from set pieces, not just corners. There was a lot of free kicks in wide areas, which you see like Ronan Curtis going over to take, and a lot of the time they don't beat the first man. I remember one coming in which was driven low and it sort of just hit the side net, and it's sort of like, as much as we don't score from corners, the delivery is the issue. Like, there's only so much you can do with poor balls coming into the box. If you've got someone, I don't think he had a brilliant game last night in any sense of the word, but I think if you've got someone like Sean Raggett who's that good in the air, you've got to be looking to hit his head or at least the penalty spot. If you're not beating the first man and the ball's being cleared straight away, at any level of football, let alone League One or Premier League in Brighton's case, I just shouldn't be taking corners. That's the simple thing. Like, I think Curtis took the majority of the corners. If he doesn't beat the first man like once or twice, just take him off him. Just give him to someone else. Like, someone can surely put a decent delivery into the box in that 11.
Yeah. Let's take a listen to that first goal again then. And it was Alexis McAllister who opened the scoring at the Amex last night.
Standing up to the far post, great chance, and the opening goal for Brighton, created by Iakambash. Pompey giving the ball away. It was
the disappointing thing about that, Tom. On 38 minutes, it took Brighton to actually open the scoring against Pompey. And as we mentioned before that stage, we were looking okay. We were looking like we were actually going to hold our own against the Seagulls. But it was just that lapse in concentration, in particular from Marcus Harness, who played quite a dodgy ball backwards and it was intercepted, and Iakambash put in the resulting cross into the box, and McAllister found himself just unmarked at the back post, and that really was schoolboy errors.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that mistake by Harness, and they capitalised on that straight away, and to be honest, that is what will normally happen against a Premier League side. You give them that chance and they will normally take it. And then the defending for that goal, I mean, the defence sort of stood still in a way, and he just managed to get in between two defenders, I think it was, and it was just so easy. They made it look so easy, and yeah. it's just the standstill defending is sort of a bit concerning, obviously. I mean, it's just mistakes like that that are going to let us down, and in that match, it happened.
Okay, thank you to you both. I'll link up with you two again in a few moments. It's been great to hear from you, but it will be a few minutes before we do come back to you guys. So do sit tight. We'll be back before you know it. It's time now, though, to head to a quick break here on Express FM, during which it's probably the perfect time for you back home to get in touch if you haven't done so already. We're asking for your honest thoughts on last night's performance and where that leaves Pompey for the rest of the season. Is it time to panic or simply just to move on and put that behind us? We'd also love to know your thoughts on the EFL Trophy final. Have you brought tickets for the game? What do you think should happen to the match? And would you prefer to be refunded or wait until fans are allowed back in full capacity and attend the game when it's safe to do so? All the usual ways to get in touch, if you don't know them by now, can be found on our website, expressfm.com. So don't move a muscle. Myself, Sam and Tom will be back before you know it for part two of this Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7. Express FM.
Hello and welcome back to the Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM, sponsored this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Download the app now on either the Apple app or Google Play stores to plan your next journey. Sam Macy and Tom Maddy join me from back home over the phone lines for this episode of the Football Hour. Tonight we are discussing last night's 4-0 defeat away to Brighton and Hove Albion in the Carabao Cup, which saw Pompey dumped out at the second round stage. We'll also later on be looking ahead to Sunday's trip to Rochdale in League One, the second match day of the new league campaign. And we'll also be discussing a few other things in between now and 7 o'clock. We're going to go back to last night's game and goal number two for the Seagulls, which came via Alireza Jakambash.
Brighton, Jakambash, what a goal! Drills it into the roof of the net.
To be honest, lads, I'm just, you know, proud to be pronouncing his name rather sort of correctly. Throughout the entire show, I was sort of dreading him scoring last night. But I think you've got to hand this one to Brighton and to Jakambash, Tom. It was a fantastic strike and a really strong effort from outside the box.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think it was on a bit of a counter-attack, wasn't it? And he had a lot of time to sort of position himself. But yeah, there was no stopping that. That wasn't, you know, I was an absolute rocket, and you just got to kind of accept that one for what it was. That was a great goal.
Goal number three, because we will quickly move on from that one, because I don't think really, I don't think two goalkeepers would have saved that one. It was right into the top left-hand corner, near post. Okay, you'll have your harsh critics doubting McGill for that one, but nonetheless, a fantastic finish from a really talented player, that one. And goal number three, not long after, Bernardo with a header at the back post from, well, Brighton scored a corner, something Pompey couldn't do.
The edge of the six-yard box and they don't defend it. It's headed into the back of the net by Bernardo.
Bernardo, again, you know, we mentioned earlier on in the show, Sam, wholesale 11 changes for Brighton. But Bernardo, someone with a lot of Premier League pedigree, and he let well to leap above the Pompey defenders and head it into the back of the net. And a few questions could be asked of the Blues defence for that one. I think some defenders in that box, and well, some midfield as well, just the entire team just sort of stood still as Bernardo added Brighton's third.
Yeah, I think it was James Bolton who was meant to be marking him, and he sort of just span free, sort of ran round the side. He was just unmarked at the back post. It's just one of those things. Like, you're going to give away sloppy goals throughout the season. I just think, I don't know, just in the context of the game, it just sort of killed the game, really. I think the second goal was the killer blow, but the third one, so soon after, it's all the hard work had sort of been undone and heads went down. And I think that was the issue towards the end of the game. But like I said, like, you can't, yeah, it's a good player, it's a good header, yeah, but the marking could have been a lot better if we're being harsh.
And we'll finish off with Gyökeres, who finished under Craig McGilvery, who probably could have done better, but here's this one.
Field back to goal, Gyökeres trying to turn and get the shot away, and he's done that, and he's scored.
Questions asked of the goalkeeper for that one, Sam, or do you think that maybe at 3-0 down to a Premier League side with the game maybe petering out quite a bit for Pompey, that it's not something you're going to be losing sleep over tonight?
I think he made a few good saves in the game, McGivory. I think since he's the reason we're in the second round anyway, if it wasn't for him in that penalty shootout against Stevenage, we probably wouldn't even be here. So you can come a bit of slack. He's not done a lot wrong since he's come back into the team. So yeah, it's just one of those which goes in. Like I said about the third goal, the game was already dead at 2-0. So it's just sort of like rubbing salt into the wounds a little bit with the third and fourth, which could very easily have been avoided.
Yeah. Let's get to some of the comments from social media from last night's game, which is always fantastic to read through after we've lost a game. It can be quite a toxic place, can social media sometimes. But we've got a few, I'd say probably constructive comments, which I'm really pleased to see for tonight's show. We'll start off with Pompey Pedro on Twitter. He says, performance wasn't the worst I've seen from Miss Jacket's side. Some attempts to play football and a couple of nice passages of play. The real takeaway from last night was just how far away from us Brighton are and how uncomfortable the thought of how long it'll take to get to their position, says Pompey Pedro on Twitter. And I think that's probably in regards to the entire club as a whole there, Tom. The training ground, the complex at Brighton, of course the stadium as well, the pitch they've got, and the players they got at the disposal, and the fact that they are consecutively now surviving in the Premier League and maybe even beginning to compete for a top 10 finishes. They've come a long way in the last decade or so, whilst Pompey have gone in the complete opposite direction. Is it a little bit of a worrying thought now when you look at Brighton, you look at Bournemouth, and I hate to say it, you look at Southampton and you think, yeah, we are actually quite far away from them in terms of just everything.
Yeah, and the thing is, all three of those clubs have all had their financial troubles as well, so it's not as if we can, you know, turn around and say that we've been hard done by, because they've all, you know, they've all had their own problems at the same time. Ours obviously more recent than theirs. And yeah, I mean, I guess it does seem a long way off Portsmouth at that stage, and at that sort of level. It's a shame because we've had so many good young players through over the years as well, but nothing really seems to come of them. I think Ben Close and Jack Watmore, the ones that have sort of stayed with the team over the past couple of years, but they're sort of first team, you know, not regulars, but, you know, they've been around for a while. We haven't really had anyone new come through that's featured in the first team consecutively, and Brandon Hounshaw left, and there's just nothing really that positive for the youth setup at the moment. And when that will come around, as well as like training pitches and all of that, I know there's meant to be like developments and all that, but there just doesn't seem to be anything to sort of give a bit of, I don't know, it's just not positive at the moment.
Yeah. James on Twitter says, what I don't understand is that in Kenny's fourth year, the game he finally starts to play out from back is against a Premier League side. He tells us all summer that Watmore can't play three games a week, then plays him in a meaningless cup game. Also, Michael Jacobs not even on the bench, says James. Josh Woodage also says, shame Jacobs didn't get a few minutes at the end. Surprised to see Jack play again, not surprised he went off with a bit of a knock. Hope he's okay. Seriously worry about our back four without him. Not too upset about leaving the cup. Would have liked for it to have been a little bit less of a whopping. Thank you to Josh and James for their comments. In, I think in regards to Michael Jacobs, you know, the question they both asked for that one is that Kenny did say in his interview before last night's game that Michael Jacobs would not be risked for that game. He's still trying to find a bit of match fitness. He's been a free agent for quite a few months now, so I think that one is just maybe slowly easing him into league action. Hopefully we'll see him on Sunday against Rochdale, but if not, I can't imagine it'll be any later than Wigan next week. In regards to the Jack Watmore comments then, Sam, he came off with what looked like a knock. Kenny has confirmed in his interview we heard earlier that he is fine and that he will be fit for Sunday's game, and it was just a dead leg. Do you see that as a bit of an unnecessary risk playing Jack, or was it just a case of Kenny really just trying to play as strong as a team he could to try and maintain a bit of a confidence boost heading into the league campaign?
Yeah, I think I'd agree with the latter there. I think if you're playing against the Premier League side, you want to impress and you want to play your best team. I think as well, you're looking for a bit of consistency in your defence. And if he's trying to build a partnership with Raggett and Watmore, I think it seems silly to break it up and play Paul Downing in there with Raggett instead.
Yeah.
I think he looked really, really good as well. He saved us a lot in the first half. Like, he's probably out of him and Raggett, he can play out from the back a hell of a lot better than Raggett can. And it's nice to see him getting a bit of match fitness and a bit of consistency again. I think that season, I think it's two seasons ago when him and Matt Clark were playing at centre half for the first half of the season, they were untouchable. Yeah. Like, that's probably my favourite Pompey's partnership I've seen in my lifetime. Yeah, if he gets back to that sort of level, then I don't see why playing him every week's an issue. Obviously, he's had his injury worries, but he is by far our best centre back, and you need to play him as much as possible. Yeah. In my opinion,
this is a bit of a debate we had on the on Pompey Live last night, Tom, and I can personally see both sides of it. You know, I hate to, you know, be the person that sits on the fence with this one, but on one side of it, I can see the comments about not wanting to risk a player who has had so many injuries during his career when there are important league games coming up. But on the other hand, I can also see the argument that, as Sam just mentioned, for a player like Jack who has had his injuries, it's important for him to try and get as much game time as possible, especially against top quality sides, to try and bring him up to as much match fitness as possible and to keep building that experience and to keep that partnership with Sean Raggett at the back and just to keep a bit of a consistent starting lineup throughout the games.
Yeah, I completely understand both sides of the argument. I mean, I can't lie, I was a bit concerned to see him in the starting lineup last night. I thought it was a cup game. He should probably just give him a rest, especially when he's just coming back into match action and we all know how injury prone he is. But then at the same time, building up that match fitness and giving him the game time, as well as the confidence, I guess, from playing consistently, yeah, will probably benefit. And I think he's definitely the best centre-back. I've always rated Watmore. I think he's solid and comfortable on the ball. And I think if he's not in that centre-back pairing, it's going to be a bit worrying, because obviously Raggett's, he's 50-50. He's either going to put in a shift or he's not. He was really good last season before COVID cancelled it. But it seems like he's gone back to square one again. And he's just a bit dodgy on the ball. And obviously we don't really see much of Downing, but he played one game against Stevenage and then he was chucked out again. Yeah. So it's just, I think Watmore has to be in that starting 11. And I can understand why Jacket did play him to build up his confidence and match fitness.
A lot of interaction coming in through the text, tweets and emails tonight. Thank you so much for everyone getting involved. We're going to read out as much as we can between now and 7. If you haven't done so already, you can text your name and message starting with the word Express to 81400. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet us at expressfm, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Pompey Live. One here now from Danny Crown, who says, first half, I thought we performed very well. Unlucky to concede from a poor pass. Second half, however, abysmal. Morris should not be in the squad. He brings nothing to the team, and Raggett was awful too. Kenny doesn't seem to know when and how to change things around. And where was Ben Close? Says Danny Crown. Thank you to Danny to get involved. Paul Ellis says, quick question. Why did Morris play last night? I watched and didn't hear his name at all. And Jake Myers says, is Close really better than Morris? Cannon is absolutely miles ahead of the pair of them. So quite a few different opinions floating around in regards to that kind of midfield trio, Sam. Of the three players, we only tend to see one start alongside the captain, Tom Naylor, every week. Andy Cannon, Ben Close, Bryn Morris are the three names. In your opinion, who do you think is the strongest in that position and why?
Personally, I'd say Andy Cannon, because I think he's just the perfect number eight, because you've got Naylor as the number four alongside him. I think in terms of a box-to-box midfielder, he fits the bill perfectly. You see him came on in the Shrewsbury game, came on last night. He just adds energy and a bit of like attacking intent. Like, he's always forward thinking. Whereas I think Bryn Morris gets a bit of a bad reputation just purely for the amount of injuries he's had in his short Pompey career. Yeah. And then obviously he was, in my opinion, a bit of a scapegoat in the playoffs last year, purely because Tom Naylor didn't play. It's still one of the most bizarre comments I've heard from a manager with the whole winter player thing. But I think Tom Naylor does get a bit of a... Sorry, not Tom Naylor. Bryn Morris just gets a bit of stick just purely for that. I don't think he does a lot wrong. I don't think he... I do think he goes missing in games, but I don't think he's a bad player at all.
Yeah.
And I'm more than happy to see him play. But then Ben Close... I just think Ben Close, in my opinion, he's got a good shot. He's got very good range of passing, but I think he's a little bit lightweight at times.
Yeah.
Just not physical enough. Like, if he moved a bit forward or played in a midfield three as opposed to the 4-2-3-1, I think that's where you see the best of Ben Close. But for me, Andy Cannon is streets ahead of the other two. I'd agree with the comment which you got a minute ago.
Yeah.
Adrian Parrish has added to the comments. He says, negative old-fashioned tactics that stifles the players. For once, I would like to see Jacket play to our strengths we obviously have in midfield and attack, and let the other team worry about us rather than the other way around. Neil Penny says, the defence is bad, not good enough. Raggett, Bolton, Downing and Harrison were bad as well. Quality of corners shocking. Do they train to defend and dead balls? Perhaps not playing for the manager, but this isn't no promotion team. Bad substitutions and no tactical plan B ever. Hashtag jacket out, says Neil Penny. And Jamie Spencer, good to hear from you, Jamie. We'll have to get you back on soon. He says, simply not good enough. No fight, no desire to compete. Totally outplayed across the park. Has Bryn Morris even been playing? I can't remember a single impact he has had on any of the games since he's been in the side. No plan B. Increasing frustration seen in both Marquis and Curtis. And I think James Mills, with a tongue-in-cheek comment underneath, says we should have signed Gareth Bale, which I think is a fair comment. If we'd signed Gareth Bale, I'm sure we would have won last night. Martin Fish says, what frustrates me is the lack of flexibility. 4-0 down and we still play 4-2-3-1. Every team knows how we play. It's dull and predictable. Surely every coach has a plan B well, except one, he says. And finally, Jacket's Jacket on Twitter says, Kenny's previous success built on being rigid, solid defensively, no mistakes, and making the most of opposition mistakes. Arguably, our defensive each got weaker each year, while final third got stronger, which goes against his success. Old clubs say he ran out of ideas, and I would say that he has now as well. Thank you for everyone for getting in touch. Don't forget you can carry on doing that between now and 7 o'clock. You have just about 20 minutes to do so. 81400 on the text. Start your messages with the word Express, followed by your name and message, of course. Email Pompey at expressfm.com. Find us on Twitter at expressfm is what to include within your tweets. And it's facebook.com/Pompey Live. We are looking for your score predictions for Sunday's trip to Rochdale in League One, match day number 2 for the Blue Army. Liam Howes and Ryan Steelwell will be at the Crown Oil Arena. I'm going to have a nice lay-in. I'm going to sit here in the studio in a nice warm and watch that game. Looking forward to that one. We're going to be previewing that match as well as discussing a few other things when we return from this next break here on the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour. We've entered the final part of tonight's show, which is once again this season being supported by Stagecoach Buses, the cheapest and most reliable bus service covering Portsmouth and the surrounding areas. It's time now to put last night's miserable showing at Brighton behind us and move on with the season. Up next for the Blues is a long trip to Greater Manchester. This week's opponents are Rochdale.
After a questionable display at the Amex on Thursday night, Kenny Jacket's Pompey returned to take part in the most important competition of the lot, League One. It's another away trip for the Blues this weekend, who travel to the Crown Oil Arena to take on Rochdale.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The exit from the League Cup could prove to be a blessing in disguise for Kenny Jacket's side, who weren't expected to beat their Premier League opponents anyway. However, the gaffer will need to implement a lot of improvements on the training ground and perhaps in the transfer market if he wants to see his side challenge at the top of League One. After a 0-0 draw in their opening League One fixture against Shrewsbury, Pompey will be looking to add a first win on the board when they take on the Dale.
Manager.
Former defensive midfielder at the club, Brian Barry Murphy, remains in charge of Rochdale this season. The 42-year-old was appointed into his first managerial position on March the 4th, 2019, after the Dale sacked previous boss Keith Hill. He took over initially on a caretaker basis, penning a permanent contract just a month later. Since being placed at the helm, Barry Murphy has recorded 23 competitive victories from 59 matches in all competitions, securing a win percentage of 39% up to this stage. The Irishman, who first joined the club as a player in 2010, made just 66 Rochdale appearances in 8 years up until his retirement in 2018, previously running out for the likes of Preston North End, Sheffield Wednesday and Bury.
One to watch.
Portuguese forward Fabio Tavares has been selected as our player to keep an eye on this weekend. The 19-year-old spent 3 years in the Rochdale Academy between 2016 and 2019, signing his first professional contract with the club last June. Following the departures of experienced strikers Ian Henderson and Aaron Wilbraham, the new campaign could prove to be the chance Tavares has been waiting for to stake his claim as the Dale's go-to man up front. Tavares, who wears the number 17 shirt, spent the back end of last season on loan at Curzon Ashton, scoring once in 3 appearances before the curtailment of the leagues.
Top scorer.
Scoring the Dale's only goal in their 3-1 opening day defeat at Swindon has ensured 29-year-old Jimmy Keohane the accolade of the club's leading scorer in the league for the time being. The midfielder, who transferred in from Cork City as a free agent last summer, netted in second half stoppage time at the county ground to earn what could only be put down as a consolation goal for his side.
Current form.
After that 3-1 defeat in Wiltshire, Brian Barry Murphy's side occupied 19th position, heading into the weekend's full set of League One fixtures. The Dale were also defeated in the Carabao Cup in midweek, losing 2-0 at home to Championship side Sheffield Wednesday. Can Pompey secure their first league victory of the season this weekend, or will Rochdale pile more misery on Kenny and his underperformed Blues? Find out by catching all of the unmissable action this Sunday afternoon from 2.
A big thanks there to Connor Mosley for providing tonight's look into Pompey's next opponents, Rochdale, who await at the Crown Oil Arena on Sunday afternoon. Don't forget, that is a 3 p.m. kickoff up in Greater Manchester. Rochdale versus Pompey has been moved back to Sunday, of course, due to last night's Carabao Cup action against Brighton, which was moved behind due to their action in the Premier League on Monday night. So a few fixtures catching up with both the Blues and Rochdale and Brighton, but it's not a Saturday game. There will be no fixture for Pompey tomorrow. Instead, it will be Sunday. Pompey Live starts from 2 o'clock from the Crown Oil Arena. Myself, Liam and Ryan, we're looking forward to that one. We hope you can join us for it as well. Joining me now on the Football Hour for tonight's show, we've got just under 15 minutes left of the show remaining. We're going to be looking ahead to the next game in just a few moments' time, but a few bits of information you might want to know, of course, as Pompey fans. And the first one of which is a club statement released by the club earlier today, and this is really following on from a statement released by the EFL earlier in the week. Pompey have said that they remain in dialogue with our counterparts at Salford City and the EFL over the delayed EFL Trophy final. The primary objective of all three parties remains that when safe to do so, there is a desire to accommodate as many fans who wish to attend the fixture as possible. Regular meetings to assess the situation will continue to take place, and Pompey go on to say they would like to thank all supporters for their continued patience with the matter. We've got a few comments actually coming in regards to that one. One here from Kevin Davis, who says, RE, the trophy final, any other event that has been postponed, you would get your money back. Why can't we, says Kevin? And yeah, it's a good question. It is a very good question. I think, well, I'll throw it over to Tom and Sam with their opinions on it. But from what I can see, lads, both Pompey and Salford are looking at it as, well, from Pompey's point of view, we sold over 50,000 tickets for the game. We don't want those supporters to miss out. And to actually get all of those refunds sorted, I think, would be in excess of over £1.5 million. So it's a lot to deal with and a lot, really, to gamble upon. But also in Salford's case, you know, it's their first season in the EFL last season. They've reached a cup final. They want to try and fulfil that fixture and try to win their first bit of silverware in the Football League. Tom, where do you kind of sit on this one? Because it's getting to that stage now where, what, 6 months down the line, after the game should have been played, fans are actually beginning not really to care about it anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame them. It's just, it's weird because if we got to the final again this season, it would be absolutely bizarre playing last season's final as well as this season's final, and even Salford if they got into it as well. And I just don't really see the point as to why it's consistently being pushed back and pushed back. Like you said, it's a lot of money to deal with if they were to refund all the Pompey supporters, like over £1.5 million. But I just don't think that's ever really going to go ahead, is it? You know, over 40,000 Pompey fans in the stadium. It's just not going to happen.
I'm assuming, I was going to say, I'm assuming you both got tickets as well as, well, you have Sam as well, I imagine, for the game.
Yeah.
As a supporter who has tickets, where do you sit? Because, you know, of course you've paid your hard-earned money to go to a game which hasn't been played, and we really have no certainty as to when that fixture will be fulfilled. But as a supporter, you want to get to the match, you want to support your team at Wembley again.
Of course. It's always a day out, isn't it, going to Wembley? But I just don't think being realistic is feasible in the current climate to have 40,000 Portsmouth fans going to Wembley to watch a game of football. I think then, I don't know how they'll sort that out, but I think the easiest thing is just to say either A, scrap it completely, or B, just give anyone who wants a refund and then sort of draw a line and then try and work out a resolution once it's safe to do so.
Yeah. Okay, that's enough on the EFL Trophy final. There's not really much else to report from that one other than the stance from the club and Salford and the EFL, who all say they want to play the game when it's safe to do so, whenever that is. So, Pompey fans, if you've got your tickets, keep hold of them, because the game looks like it will be coming. It just may not be for another 6 months yet. Who knows? But it will be coming, we imagine. Moving on to the next piece of information, quite an important one for the short term, actually. Pompey have confirmed that they do intend to apply for the League One home game against Wigan next week, September the 26th, 3 p.m. kickoff on the Saturday, of course, to serve as a test event for hopefully allowing fans back into grounds during the month of October. If the club are successful, it means that up to 1,000 Pompey supporters can attend Fratton Park to watch the game against Wigan. They have gone on to say that a limited number of places will be allocated via a ballot. Oh, we love a ballot, don't we? Which will be open to flexi season ticket holders only. As it's just a test event, it will run separate to the previously announced grouping process for allocating home games. Successful applicants will be contacted and given the option to purchase tickets at some point next week. And all of the Fratton End, North Stand and Milton End will be open for supporters. There'll be no physical tickets. It'll all be via mobiles or print at home. There'll be no physical tickets, as I say, for the game. The ballot for that, if you want to enter it, if you want to try and get a ticket for next week's game at home to Wigan, if the club are successful in applying for that test event at Fratton Park, head over to portsmouthfc.co.uk and you can find the relevant links. It's pretty easy to find. You have until now, between now and midnight on Sunday for September 20th. So only 2 days to do that. And as I say, successful applicants will be contacted within the early stages of next week. So good luck to you if you are applying. It'll be lovely to have some Pompey fans back at Fratton Park. It really has been so, so eerie without you, and really stressing the importance of Pompey fans at games, Tom, because over the last few matches, you know, we're still pretty early into the season. We've only played one league match to this stage, and we are already looking at the likelihood of fans returning in some capacity over the next few weeks. But the importance of fans really has gone unnoticed up until this point, where we find ourselves in a situation where we are forced to play games without them.
Oh, absolutely. I think get fans back in as soon as possible, if it's acceptable. You love watching your team, and I've got no problem with fans not being in the stadium because of health issues and everything like that, but it's just so dull and bland, and the crowd noise for, you know, certain games, we don't get it for the EFL games, but yeah. It's just not the same. It's not enjoyable, and it just really does show you how important football is with fans and how much of a difference they make, because without it, it's just not the same.
Yeah. OK, let's move on to Sunday's game. We do only have a few minutes left before we do head off for the 7 o'clock news and for the next shows here on Express FM. Sunday afternoon, Pompey away to Rochdale in League One, looking to get their first win of the new campaign. Of course, Pompey still technically unbeaten in the league. Sam, only one game played, one draw at home to Shrewsbury. It wasn't really the result we desired, but not the worst start to the season. It could have been worse, i.e. last season we lost to Shrewsbury. A stat I mentioned on Pompey Live last night was that of all the teams that have been promoted from all of the Football League divisions since they were rebranded 16 years ago, 44% of them won their opening game of the season, whereas over half of the teams promoted failed to win their opening game of the season. So it doesn't really matter too much on the grand scheme of things how you start the campaign. It really, really is just how you end it.
Yeah, of course. I think it's if you're going to start poorly, you'd rather start poorly than end poorly. I think that's the main thing. If we're looking for aspirations of playoffs or higher, you want to be kicking into form the back end of the season as opposed to getting your dodgy results out of the way at the beginning. That was evident last year, wasn't it? We were 17th after five, six games or whatever it was. And then we sort of kicked on a little bit and won a bit of a winning run around Christmas time. If we can do that this year, I think, well, ideally win every game, but I'd rather get the poor performances and the poor results out of the way early as opposed to the back end of the season when it matters a little bit more.
Yeah. Now, no game's easy in League One. We know that, Tom, from experience, but Rochdale on Sunday will be without quite a few key names which they've had within their squad over the last few seasons. Luke Matheson, who made his breakthrough last campaign, is now at Wolves. You've got Ian Henderson, who has been scoring goals for fun for Rochdale for many seasons now. He's now at Salford City. And Callum Camps, who joined Fleetwood earlier this summer, probably the machine within the Rochdale team last campaign. So they are missing three integral parts of their squad in three different areas. And in terms of replacing them, well, I wouldn't say they failed to do so, but the quality of the names they've brought in certainly not up to scratch in regards to the quality they've lost. So it's a chance for Pompey to really pounce upon Rochdale, who are one of the favourites to actually go down this season.
Yeah, definitely. It's got to be a win. We've got to win that one. They, like you said, they've lost a lot of key players, and I don't think they have replaced them. I know they're not full of bags of money, are they? But I know they brought in Stephen Humphreys from Southend, who's a decent striker. But yeah, they've lost a lot of good players, and we actually have a really good record against Rochdale as well, especially away to them. And I think anything but a win is unacceptable. They're a weak team, and they, like you said, they're pipped to go down. But then again, that means nothing. So, yeah, in my opinion, we've got to be winning that one.
Mm. And hopefully, Sam, it'll be a chance for Pompey to release their new boy, Michael Jacobs, in that number 10 position if Kenny deems that he is match fit, of course. Hopefully we'll see him on Sunday afternoon, and we'll be fingers crossed that he'll be performing well on his debut.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he brings, actually. I think it's obviously difficult when you've not had a pre-season and you've been without a club for as long as he has, but I'm really, really excited to see how he gels in that front three behind Marcus with Harness and Curtis is what I would go for. I just think we have to win. Like this, there's no gimmies in League One, but I think this is one of the worst teams in League One for sure. Like if you look, they've not replaced Ian Henderson. Like that's apart from last season where the season was cut short, but I'm sure he would have got 20 goals like he did the previous two seasons. You take goals like that out your side and don't replace them, you're not going to finish anywhere near as well as you have been. So I think I wouldn't be shocked if they go down based off losing him, and anything other than 3 points is disappointing on Sunday.
Lads, thank you very much. We're going to go to some score predictions coming in. Not as many as we did the other night, but a few nonetheless. Jeff Harris is going for a 2-0 win for Pompey. Terry Golding says 2-1 to Pompey. And now I'm going to look for the score predictions of my guests here. Not in the studio, but back home. Sam Macy, your score prediction, please.
2-0 Pompey.
Sam's going for 2-0. Tom Maddy, what are you going for?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go for the same. Early season nerves still, but we should get the job done.
2-0 predictions from both of the lads on the show tonight. Sam, Tom, thank you very much. For the record, I'm going to go for 2-1. Difficult game, but I think we'll get the win that we need. Lads, thank you so much once again to Tom Malley and Sam Macy for joining me on this evening's Football Hour, where we looked back to last night's 4-0 defeat at Brighton and Hove Albion. We look forward to Rochdale on Sunday. And also, we discussed the EFL Trophy final from last season and, of course, the possibility of fans returning back to Fratton Park within the next few weeks. Hopefully that will happen. Okay, coming up here for you on Express FM, 7 p.m. after the news, Richard Peckham is here with Express Party until 9, when Hipshaker returns with a groovy blend of 60s soul, R&B and beat music through till 11 o'clock, where we've got non-stop music through until Saturday morning. 8 a.m. is when Ian McGuinness wakes you up for the breakfast show. He'll be here with news, weather, TV, movies guide, the track of the week, absolutely everything you need to start your weekend absolutely perfectly. Lily Park is here from 11 a.m. as well. Darren Gamblin from 2. And of course, no Pompey Live tomorrow, so don't forget you want to tune in on Sunday instead of tomorrow. Pompey Live from the Crown Oil Arena, Rochdale versus Portsmouth, League One, Match Day 2. Can Pompey get their first win of the new league campaign? Find out for all of the unmissable action, 2 p.m. on Sunday. Thank you ever so much for listening. I hope you stay safe. Keep supporting the Blues. Play up, Pompey. Good night, everyone.